And in these hard times, we simply cannot accept the fact that one in every seven Americans is uninsured. There's a better way, and my plan puts the emphasis on expanding access while preserving the choice people now have over the type of health care coverage and health care they receive. My plan will give Americans a greater sense of security, help ease the fears that so many Americans have that changing jobs will cost them their health coverage. And the key here is portability. Changing the system to ensure people that they'll always have access to health insurance, no matter where they work. And finally, my plan will cut costs. It helps us make health insurance more affordable, and more affordable means more accessible. And my plan will preserve what works and reform what doesn't. And above all, it will ensure every American universal access to affordable health insurance. We stand at a crossroads. We can move forward dramatically to reform our market-based system, or we can force ourselves to swallow a cure worse than the disease. Some people have scribbled out a prescription for disaster. They want to nationalize our health system, put the government in control of the system. Will you let government control the prices? Let government ration the kind of health care people get? Let government tell people looking for care how much they'll get, what kind, and when? Nationalized systems cover everyone, but keep in mind the drawbacks that come with a nationalized system. Long waiting lists for surgery, shortages of high-tech equipment responsible for so many of the miracles of modern medicine. Let me cite just one example for you. The Cleveland Clinic performs 10 coronary bypass surgeries a day, I'm told. High-tech, high-quality surgery without any wait. But if you live in British Columbia, the wait for coronary bypass surgery is 6 months. It is no wonder so many people from abroad come to American hospitals for surgery. And when you nationalize health care, you push costs higher, far higher. Some studies estimate that nationalized health care would cost the average American family a huge new tax burden. For the nation, a staggering $250 to $500 billion a year in new taxes. Such a massive tax increase is simply unacceptable, and the American people should not be asked to accept it. And for that price, you get the worst of both worlds. No one has an incentive to control costs, and everyone pays. But there are other proposals out there that sound simple but are every bit as harmful. One's called play or pay. Each employer must play, meaning provide insurance for employees or pay a payroll tax to finance government health coverage. Businessmen and women tell me horror stories about healthcare costs spiraling out of control. Will play or pay will leave a lot of small businesses struggling on the edge of survival right now, with a tough choice. They can cut workers' wages to pay for mandated health care. They can fire some workers to cover the workers they keep, or they can raise prices and pass along to the cost to the consumer. Some studies put the cost in jobs lost under play or pay as high as $500,000 or more. Lower wages, lost jobs, higher costs. Any way you look at it, that's the wrong choice for America. Now, step away the rhetoric, strip it out of there, and play or pay just creates a backdoor route to nationalize health care, and it encourages employers to stop offering benefits, throw the problem in the government's lap, and dump millions of fully insured workers into a public plan like Medicaid. And because the new employer taxes in play or pay don't pay for the program, the American taxpayer will obviously foot the bill. And I am not about to let that happen. You won't hear this from the people pushing play or pay. Ask them about the side effects of their proposal, and they'll say, take two aspirin and call me after the election. I don't believe people want to be shoveled into some new health care bureaucracy. They want good health. A large part of the answer is prevention. And every one of us can make changes in our behavior to reduce the risk of disease and illness. And pardon me for being just a little bit old-fashioned, but what we're talking about is behavior, drugs, alcohol abuse, risky sexual behavior. You know what I'm talking about. And there's nothing wrong with discussing that, trying to do better in this field. Tomorrow in San Diego, I'll focus in more detail on the ways prevention can help people live healthier lives and help keep our economy healthy too. But today, I want to focus on the healthcare system, on this comprehensive market-based reform plan I have. The fact is, we do not have to create a new government bureaucracy to give Americans access to affordable, quality health care. We need a system that delivers, a system that works for America, a system that puts quality care within reach of every American family. Our system should be built on choice, not central control. It should keep costs down and open up access. But above all, it should allow all Americans to rest secure when it comes to health care, to ease their worry that if they change jobs, if they or their kids develop serious health problems, they'll still be able to count on the coverage they need. Now, my comprehensive four-point plan meets every one of these common sense tests, and here's how it works. Point one, we will make health care more accessible by making health insurance more affordable. For low-income individuals and families, I propose a health insurance credit up to $3,750 a year to guarantee people, even people too poor to file taxes, the ability to purchase private health insurance. That will give these families a certificate or voucher to be used strictly for health care, worth more than $300 a month. And they can use it to buy into the plan their employers offer, but they could never afford. Or they can shop for whatever private plan suits them best. That's the American commitment to choice at its best. For middle-income individuals and families, I propose a health insurance tax deduction of $3,750. American families with incomes under $80,000 will receive new help from either the credit or the tax deduction. And let me tell you what that means. New help to purchase health insurance for 95 million Americans. And once again, this insurance will be portable. People who change jobs would have insurance regardless of their health, and this is important, or regardless of their family's health. But best of all, my plan will bring health care coverage to almost 30 million uninsured Americans. Security to people who far too long have had to do without. And that's the first point in this four-point plan, access. Point two, we will cut the runaway costs of health care by making the system more efficient. Today I'm asking you to learn a new acronym, HIN, Health Insurance Networks. Insurance costs obey the law of large numbers. The larger the group being insured, the lower the cost per individual. pooling. Pooling lowers insurance costs and significantly cuts administrative costs. HINs will provide incentives for small companies to do what Cleveland's Cozy Group has done. When it brought 10,000 small businesses together to make a joint purchase of health care. The nation should listen and follow. Another way to drive costs down, make everyone a better health care consumer. Right now, most people pay more attention to the price of toothpaste than the comparative costs of health care. People don't waste much time thinking about the costs of their care, but in the end, we all pay the price. We need to follow the lead of initiatives like Cleveland Health Quality Choice, programs that give people shopping for health care a kind of blue book for medical costs. Innovations like these will help all of us keep the costs of quality health care as low as possible. Point three, we will wring out waste and excess in the present system. We've targeted medical malpractice for reform. It is time to put an end to these astronomical, sky's-the-limit lawsuits. You shouldn't have to pay a lawyer when you go to the doctor. And our doctors, the most able, our doctors, the most able and dedicated in the entire world, shouldn't be living in fear of these outrageous lawsuits. And high malpractice premiums mean higher doctors' bills, higher hospital costs, costs passed along not only to the patient, but to every single American taxpayer. Now, I have challenged the health insurance industry to cut red tape, to share common forms, to simplify and speed up claims processing. And here's a challenge for the next 4 years. There is no reason almost all health insurance claims can't be processed electronically. That single step would eliminate a mountain of healthcare paperwork and pare back costs. We've got to attack the excesses of mandated benefits. When states now order health insurers to cover 1,000 different types of treatment, something's gone wrong. Next thing, they're going to be covering manicures for Millie. It's gone too far. And I think everybody knows it. We should challenge the states to do something about the excessive mandates that shoot these costs right up through the roof. Fourth, and finally, we will get the growth in government health programs under control. Right now, government health care programs can claim a dubious distinction. They are the fastest growing parts in the federal budget. For those of you interested in history, go back and listen to what was said about these programs at their inception. Go back and hear the rhetoric on the floor of the United States Congress, and now compare that to what actually has happened in these costs. This year alone, Medicaid, this year alone, let me repeat that, Medicaid costs will increase by 38%. We will not, repeat not, cut benefits. We can make real savings simply by reducing this huge rate of increase. We must bring runaway costs under control. Smart, sensible efficiencies will help our reform plan pay for itself. The federal government should also give states flexibility to design these new universal access programs for the poor, programs that will provide quality services to all their citizens. I've just met with Governor Voinovich and the rest of the governors. Regardless of party, Democrat, Republican, doesn't matter, they want flexibility. and we must give it to them. Right here in Ohio, your governor has proposed health care reforms that will do for this state what we want to do on the federal level. States should be able to use new federal resources to design programs that work, not some one-size-fits-all solution imposed by Washington, D.C. Providing affordable care, efficient care, wringing out excess and waste, and controlling federal growth. These 4 points will create the kind of market-based reform plan that will give Americans the kind of health care they want and deserve and put an end to the worry that keeps them awake at night. Remember what people want. People want quality care, care they can afford, and care they can count on, care they can rely on. I keep coming back to what works for this country. Think about the challenges that we face as a nation. Anyone who is concerned about competitiveness has to see controlling health care costs as key to a healthy economy. We've got to make certain our reform corrects our weaknesses without destroying our strengths. And when we talk about health care, we're talking about matters of the most personal nature, in some cases literally life and death, decisions that go with it. We don't need to put government between patients and their doctors. We don't need to create another wasteful federal bureaucracy. As president, I simply will not let that happen. We need common sense, comprehensive health care reform, and we need it now. And my plan, I really believe, is the right plan. A plan that meets our obligation to all Americans by putting hope and health within their reach. Cleveland has led the way. Your hospitals, COSI, citizens in this community, way out front for these principles. And it's most appropriate that I give this speech to the nation on health care reform right here in this city that is leading the way. Once again, my thanks for this warm Cleveland welcome, and may God bless you all in the United States of America. Thank you very, very much.
And so, President Bush has outlined his health care program in his speech in Cleveland, Ohio. It features vouchers for the poor, as much as $1,250 per year for those individuals below the poverty line in order to buy health insurance. For those in the upper income bracket, aid takes the form of tax deductions, as much as $1,050 per individual in income tax savings, and as much as $3,750 per family. This plan would be phased in over 5 years' time, would cost an estimated $100 billion over these 5 years, and then would level off at about $35 billion a year thereafter. The money is to come from savings in Medicaid and Medicare, as we have heard, also from a pooling of risks, the HIN principle, or health insurance networks, also something to dampen or curtail the vast awards won in malpractice lawsuits, which the president does not indicate exactly how he's to stop, but he got some applause when he mentioned it. That in outline is what the president said. Bobby?
Well, let's toss the proposal to our panel of analysts one last time for a brief dissection, and a reminder that we only have a minute or so for a brief summary comment from all of you. Senator Jay Rockefeller, your reaction.
The president mentioned some good things, Bobby, managed care, malpractice reform, some modest health insurance reform. But I just got to tell you, I am so profoundly disappointed that he didn't seize the moment. There is not universal health care insurance in this plan. It is simply not there, and there is not cost containment. To the average family in West Virginia, what his plan on the deductibles would mean, they're making $28,000. It'll mean about $500 or $600 towards the cost of $7,000 of health insurance on an annual basis. It just doesn't help for the poor. 70% of Americans who don't have health insurance are above 100% of poverty, and they're all going to miss out on the president's plan. It just doesn't do it. And I'm really disappointed. I don't know why he hasn't reached farther.
Thank you, Senator. John Rother of the AARP.
Well, the president, the most important thing to say is that the president is now addressing the issue, an absolutely urgent issue that we need the president to take some leadership on. I didn't hear the president say how this plan would be financed, and I think that's a central point in this whole debate is how can we fairly own up to the cost of fixing our health care system. Second point is the president's rolling the dice here. He's putting all of his eggs on the private insurance sector and getting them to try to correct some of the abuses that they've been guilty of in the past. And he seemed to downgrade the potential of public programs like Medicare, which are currently doing a good job of making sure that people can afford to see health care and provides choice at a very reasonable rate. So I think it's a roll of the dice, puts it all on the private sector, and it doesn't have very much in it for middle-class families who are suffering under the kind of year-to-year cost increases that we're seeing today.
Thank you, John. Dr. Joseph Simone of St. Jude's.
Well, I think the most important thing I heard was that he was going to try to make health care accessible to everyone. If it translated that way, this would be wonderful. Everyone would have coverage of some kind or another, either through cost savings or through some insurance that was spread out over the people who are uninsured presently. The question is really whether this can be accomplished and whether people are going to fall in the cracks. Certainly a goal would be to have every single American, man, woman, and child, covered by some kind of insurance. And if that is accomplished through this plan, it would be wonderful. The rest of it is a little fuzzier, I think, as to how it's going to be accomplished in reforming the malpractice programs and in shifting money from Medicare and Medicaid. I'm not sure how that's going to play out and what that will do to inner city hospitals, teaching hospitals, and their ability to care for the poor in inner cities.
Dr. R, thanks to you. And finally, Deborah Steelman, President Bush's former domestic policy advisor.
Well, I think the president did what a leader does. He put the choice starkly before the American people. He said, do you want a radical new government program, or do you want radical changes in the private sector? And that's clearly what the president stands for. He told us what he stands for. Make insurance work for people, not against people. Make sure you have insurance when you leave or change jobs. Get the lawyers out of the middle of everything. And do it now. The good thing about the president's proposal is many members in the Congress, both Republicans and Democrats, have already endorsed many of these principles. So the president is putting forward a plan that we can do now. And I think he wants to get the job done and wants to get on with it. And I think that's very exciting. Thank you.
Our thanks to all of our panelists for this special edition of NewsHour today, focusing on the nation's health care crisis.